Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." You're invited to join our family at City on a Hill Church as we bring light to a dark world. City on a Hill is located at 1645 Dahlonega Highway in Cumming. Sunday service starts at 10 a.m. To find out more, visit cityonahillchurch.us. We are City on a Hill Church.
Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the Holy Spirit teaching us and guiding us into all the truth in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word today. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit gives us illumination. I thank you the Holy Spirit gives me utterance. And I thank you that you give, Lord, to every person here a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Open our eyes that we may see. Open our ears that we may hear. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone that agreed said, amen. Amen. Look with me at Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. The scripture says, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I want to look at it from the Amplified Bible. It says it this way, very similar, but brings out something a little bit different. "At all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father." All right? We're going to have a test now. And it's an open book test. And your book is open on the screen. So we go back to the New King James of that, Amy. All right? So first, the first question is when. When do we give thanks?
Always.
Very good. You're doing great today. Giving thanks always. And the second question is, what? What do we give thanks for?
Always.
That was a little bit weaker. Okay.
Always.
Okay, all things. So when do we give thanks?
Always.
And what do we give thanks for?
Always.
And who do we give thanks to?
God the Father.
Tells us here, God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, I believe everybody passed. You did good. So giving thanks always, as the Amplified says, at all times, at all times. And I was so gracious not to use royal scripture for the offering, although he did start treading all over my message. But
I was setting you up.
You were setting me up, and I appreciate it.
We did not talk.
So amen. No, it was good. I always think that's the Holy Spirit just confirming things. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But I want to point out something else in this scripture, too. Giving thanks is an action. Notice he says giving thanks. That's something that we give. Well, giving, that's an action, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not just a thought, but it's an action. It's a verb, right? Giving, it's a verb. Giving thanks, that's an action. Amen. It's something that we do.
Amen.
Everybody say, giving thanks.
Giving thanks.
Is something that we do. Amen. And specifically, more specifically, it is something that we speak. Giving thanks is something that we speak. Amen. You can write a thank you note, certainly, or give a thank you card. That's something that you do. But truly, giving thanks, especially in a spiritual sense, especially in regard to God, as the scripture says here, it's something that we speak. Look at this scripture, Hebrews 13, 15. He says, "Therefore, by him," by Jesus, "let us continually offer." How often? That sounds like always, doesn't it?
Yep.
Huh? "Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips." What is the fruit of your lips? That's the words that you say, right? The fruit of your lips are the words that you say. It's what you speak. Amen. That's what he's talking about. When he says the fruit of our lips, he's talking about the things that you speak. The fruit of our lips doing what? Giving thanks to his name. He says we're to continually do that. And when we offer the sacrifice of praise, that's the same as giving thanks. And it comes out of our mouth. It's the fruit of our lips. Hallelujah. So giving thanks, it's an action. It's something we do. It's something that we speak. It's the fruit of our lips. And another thing, if folks. It's powerful.
Amen.
It's powerful. And so what I want to carry us through this morning is this. What happens when we give thanks? We're going to look at a few things that happen when we give thanks. Number one is this. When we give thanks, we're glorifying God. When we give thanks, we're glorifying God. There's an account in the Bible where 10 lepers came to Jesus one day. They were filled with leprosy, and they approached Jesus. They came walking toward him, and they began to cry out and ask him for help. And all of the lepers were cleansed. Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. And the Bible says one of them came back. Verse 15 of Luke 17 tells us, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice, Linda, with a loud voice. We were praising the Lord this morning. And I'm not blaming Linda, but, unless everybody's entering in, you don't want to be conspicuous. And so she was praising God, but I heard her whisper, "Thank you, Jesus." So I turned around and I said, "Say it out loud." Because here's what's going to happen. He says he returned with a loud voice and glorified God.
Amen.
He returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He returned to say thank you. He returned to tell Jesus, "Thank you for healing me." And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus, and that's noteworthy because the Jews looked down on the Samaritans. They were not complete Jews. They were just half-breed Jews. And so they were kind of looked down upon. And notice, in the Bible, in all these stories, the Samaritans are always glowing. There's the Good Samaritan. I think we talked about him last week, about how when he saw the man that was beaten and robbed, he's the one that stopped instead of the priest and the Levite. And the one that returned to give thanks was a Samaritan.
Amen.
So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And the Bible says he came and he told Jesus, "Thank you." He gave him thanks for healing him. And Jesus says, this man returned to give glory to God. So we can see in this that when we give thanks, we're bringing glory to God.
Amen.
When we give thanks, we're bringing glory to God. And we need to thank God. It says at all times, we need to be thanking God in the good times.
Amen.
We need to be, you think, well, that's easy. Everybody does that. You know, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget to thank Him when things are going well for us and when He's blessed us and when He's done good things for us. We should make it a point to thank God. This man made it a point. Hey, I'm healed. I'm not just going to walk back home now. I'm going to go back. It may have been inconvenient. I don't know how far he had to walk. But he said, you know, it's worth it. I'm going to go back to where Jesus is and I'm going to go and tell Him, thank you for healing me. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to make sure we do that. When God blesses us, when God heals us, when God comes through for us, we need to thank Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And what happened, it's not only polite and appropriate. You know, we're taught as kids, you know, say thank you. You know, Johnny, tell the man thank you for giving you the candy. Thank you, sir. You know, not only is it polite, not only is it appropriate, but it gives glory to God.
Amen.
When we thank God for what He's done for us. And so we should give thanks not only privately. We should do that. We should privately thank God for what He's done for us. But you know what? We should give thanks publicly as well.
Amen.
Why? Because then our giving of thanks becomes a testimony to encourage others.
Amen.
When we publicly thank God for what He's done for us, it becomes a testimony for others to be encouraged, to stir their faith, and to say, you know, if God did it for Royal, He'll do it for me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's go back there. And there we see Moses is giving his farewell address to the children of Israel, and he is instructing them And he's telling them, you know, you're going to come into a good land. You're going into the promised land. And you need to make sure that you're thankful for all that God is doing for you and for all of his blessings. Look at what he says here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. He says, when you have eaten and are full, he says, you're going to come into a land of abundance. And you're going to come into a land that's fruitful. And he says, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you.
Amen.
Let's keep rolling there, Amy. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in. This is God blessing the people. They've eaten, they're full, they've built beautiful houses. And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied. By the way, that's God's will.
Amen.
I said, by the way, that's God's will.
Yes.
Amen. For your herds and your flocks to multiply, for your silver and your gold to multiply. And when all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And then he says in verse 17, he says, then, if your heart gets lifted up, then you say in your heart, my power and my might and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Was it their might?
No.
Was it their power? Was it the might of their hand?
No.
Is it your might? Is it the power of your hand that has gained you wealth and blessing and any good thing that has come into your life? Is it because of you? Is it because you're so sharp? Is it because you're so smart?
No.
Or is it because God has blessed you?
Is it
because what God has done?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
He says in verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. You see, giving thanks cultivates humility in our lives, doesn't it?
Yes. Amen.
Giving thanks cultivates humility in our lives.
Amen.
We didn't earn it. We aren't owed it.
That's right.
We talk about today an entitlement society. You know, so many people are living with an entitlement mentality. Well, it's owed me. You owe me this. No, nobody owes you anything. Well, God owes me. Well, I tell you what, you know what God owes us? You want to know the truth this morning? You know what God owes us? He owes us judgment.
Yeah.
He owes us punishment for our sin. He owes us to be eternally separated from him because of our sin. That's what is owed us. I don't know about you, but I don't want what's owed to me.
No. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen? Thank God he didn't give us what we earned. Amen.
Amen.
No, every blessing that we have is what God, is something God has graciously given to us.
Yes.
Amen. And we give thanks for that. We give thanks for all he's done for us. We give thanks for all he's blessed us with. And that keeps us in a place of humility.
Amen.
Amen. And so point number two leads us into that. Point number two is this. When we give thanks, what happens when we give thanks? Well, number one, we're giving glory to God. But then number two, when we give thanks, we remind ourselves of our dependence on God. Amen. Now, contrary to what modern anthropologists may say, at one time, all mankind had the knowledge of the true God. Amen.
Amen.
You think about it. There were eight people that walked off the ark. There were eight people left to populate the earth after the flood of Noah. Eight people. Did those eight people have knowledge of the true God?
Absolutely.
They absolutely did, didn't they? They absolutely did. But what happened was somewhere, someone down the line decided to stop acknowledging God and stop giving thanks to God. Look at this scripture in Romans chapter 1. Look at what it says. This is an incredible, incredibly enlightening scripture. It says, because although they knew God, they knew him, right?
Yes.
although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. When whoever it was down the line after they came off the ark, when those folks stopped being thankful, when they stopped giving thanks, when they stopped thanking God, it started them on a downward spiral that led them into spiritual darkness. You know, the same could happen to us today if we neglect and refuse to be thankful. How important is it that we give thanks to God? It's pretty important, isn't it? It keeps us in a place of dependence on Him. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I thought about, I hope you pray over your food.
Yep.
I mean, that's a small thing. And I've noticed it seems like, you know, that less and less Christians do that. And I get it. I think sometimes the mindset is, oh, well, it's just a ritual, and I want my relationship with God to be real, and I'm not just going to pray some prayer over my food just because we're supposed to do that. Well, let me address that a little bit. It's only a dead ritual if you make it that.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. It can be, even though it's short. You don't have to pray a 2-minute prayer. I know Scarlett used to always like to pray over the food in Spanish. And I don't know, all Spanish prayers are much longer. Gracias, Padre. She goes on and on and on. It doesn't have to be long, but it can be real, and it can be from your heart, and it can be an expression of thanks to God. Amen?
Amen.
I would encourage you, pray over your food.
Amen.
Amen. Do you like to eat?
Yes.
Do you enjoy what you eat?
Yes.
Well, if you don't, get some other food and find some stuff you like. I don't know about you. I mean, you might not can tell it by looking at me, but I like to eat. And when I pray over my food, I said, Father, I thank you for this.
Amen.
I'm going to enjoy this. I like this stuff.
Amen.
And I'm going to enjoy this, and I thank you, Lord. You've provided this for me. You're the one that's blessed me to be able to eat, to get meal deal C. Yeah. Like we were talking about the other week. Whatever it is, Lord, you're the one that blessed me. And I'm going to enjoy this, and I thank you for it. Amen. Just express gratefulness to God. It may be a small thing, but it's something that helps to form a grateful attitude in our hearts. Amen. Jesus, we're going to read a scripture where that was Jesus' pattern to give thanks over food. And also the Apostle Paul, look at this. This is interesting. In Acts chapter 27, now let me set this up. So in Acts 27, Paul, this is when Paul, if you read the chapter, I'd encourage you to go back and go sometime this week, read Acts chapter 27. It's a great chapter. It's where Paul is on his way to Rome. He's being transported there because he's appealed. If you're doing the daily Bible reading, today you read Acts chapter 25. Did anybody read Acts 25 this morning in the Bible reading calendar? Okay, well, praise the Lord. We're going to start reading our Bibles again, right? Amen. But in Acts 25, if you're reading through the daily Bible reading calendar, you read Acts 25 today, and Paul says, I appeal to Caesar. And he's in prison in Caesarea, because he was arrested in Jerusalem, and he's in Caesarea, and he spent some time there, at least a couple of years, before they finally figured out what to do with him. But Jesus had told him ahead of time, you're going to bear witness of me in Rome. You're going to testify before Caesar.
Amen.
And so he's on his way now, and they get into, remember the story, they get into a what we would call today a hurricane. They waited late in the year. They should have spent the winter at this place, but they said, "No, we got to get over there." And so they tried to make it, and they're going across the Mediterranean Sea. And so it was what pretty much we would know today as a hurricane. And the Bible says for 14 days they're just going along, they're being carried along on this boat, on this ship, in a hurricane. And it said for 14 days neither sun nor stars appeared. 14 days and it's raining and the wind is howling and the waves are you know, tossing the ship. For 14 days, there's no sun. There's no way to navigate without the sun or without the stars. They don't know where they're at. They think maybe they've sailed off the end of the world, you know. And so, but then the Lord shows up and speaks to Paul. And he tells him, fear not. He said, you're not going to lose your life, and I'm giving you all that sail with you. And so Paul is encouraged then, and then they realize, hey, we're getting close to land. They start taking soundings. These are professional sailors, and they start sensing, even though it's dark and they can't really see to navigate, they sense, hey, I think we're getting close to land, and they start taking soundings. And so Paul tells them, guys, you know, be encouraged. We're going to make it. In verse 35, and when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. They'd been fasting. They were all on pins and needles. They're thinking we're all going to die. And Paul says, you do what you want to. I'm going to sit down and eat.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the Bible says he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Now, let me tell you who them all were. There were soldiers. There were sailors. And there were criminals. It was a ship that was transporting prisoners. And the soldiers were there to guard the prisoners, and the sailors were there to sail the ship. What we would call a rough crew, right? Soldiers, sailors, and criminals. But Paul sits down, and in the presence of them all, you know, I'm contrasting this because sometimes you go into a restaurant and you pray the headache prayer. Father, bless this food. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's not be ashamed.
Amen.
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 Paul sits down and he says, Heavenly Father, thank you. You are the God of all creation, and I thank you that you've provided every good thing, and I praise you now for this food. And I mean, they're probably almost, most of them all seasick, the boat's still being tossed, you know. But he says, I'm going to eat, and Father, I thank you for it, and I praise you. And he prays the prayer, and he begins to eat. Verse 36 says, then they were all encouraged. His prayer of thanksgiving caused the whole bunch of them to be encouraged.
Yeah.
Then they were all encouraged, and they also took food themselves. How could he do that? How could he sit down and eat? How could he sit down and give thanks to God in the midst? They're still in the midst of the storm. They're still in the midst of this storm and facing shipwreck. How could he do it? Because if you read a few verses before that, he says, gentlemen, he said, I believe God that it shall be just as it was told me.
Amen.
He told me he's going to take care of us, and I believe him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what faith does. Faith gives thanks. When we're in faith, we can give thanks.
Amen.
Amen? Which brings us into our next point. Number three, when we give thanks in the midst of adversity. Amen. Now, again, let's go back to our original quiz here this morning. When are we to give thanks?
Always.
At all times.
Right.
Amen. That would mean when things are going good and God is blessing, but that would also mean when we're in the midst of a storm, literally or figuratively, right? Is it appropriate to give thanks when you're in the midst of a storm?
Yes.
It absolutely is. Amen. Hallelujah. When we give thanks in the midst of adversity, God releases His grace and His power on our behalf. Hallelujah. When we give thanks in the midst of adversity, God releases His grace and His power on our behalf. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, this is out of the New Living Translation. He says, be thankful in what?
All.
In all circumstances. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. How many want to know what God's will is for their life?
Yes.
Well, here it is right here. Be thankful in all circumstances. That's God's will. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. In the Message Bible, it reads this way. Thank God no matter what happens. Thank God no matter what happens. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, thank God no matter what happens.
Thank God no matter what happens.
This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. This is the way God wants us to live. He doesn't just say, try this one time. This is how he wants us to live. Thank God no matter what happens. Hallelujah. No matter what happens, thank God. Thank God. One of the greatest ways to release our faith is by giving thanks. When everything seems to be going wrong, when everything seems to be falling apart, what do? Well, I don't know what to do. Well, if you don't know what to do, give thanks. Amen. Amen. Now, we're not thanking God for what's happening. God didn't send the storm. God didn't create the problem. You may have created the problem yourself. Amen. Or it may be from outside forces. That may be the devil attacking. It could be any number of things. But God's not doing the bad things to you. Amen. Amen. We're not thanking God for that, but we're thanking God in spite of that, in spite of what's happening. Hallelujah. And what happens is the grace of God, it may be, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not delivered from the fiery furnace, but they were delivered through it, weren't they? Yes. Amen. Amen. And I don't know how your situation is going to work out. I'm not saying that necessarily that God will deliver you from it. He may, but then he may deliver you through it.
Yeah.
But either way, you're going to come out the other side.
Amen.
And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even though they were thrown into the fiery furnace, when they came out the other side, there was no smell of smoke on them. And either way, God will bring you, either deliver you out of it or bring you through it. And either way, when you come out on the other side, you're going to be all right, and there won't even be any smell of smoke on you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen? Praise God. I want to give you a couple of examples, not from Scripture, but from our own history of our nation about thanking God no matter what happens. The very first Thanksgiving, the pilgrims, when they first came here in 1620, that first winter and spring, over half of them died. Think about our nation. Think about this nation today with all the tens of millions and even, what is it, a couple of hundred, almost 300 million of us now. Started out with a group of 100, a little over 100, came over on the Mayflower, and they said, we're going to establish a nation. Now, it didn't become the United States of America until, 140 years later, but they planted the seeds for that.
Amen.
And the way they set up the government, they planted the seeds for what is now the United States of America. A little over 100 of them. Well, half of them died. They were left with 53. When they celebrated that first Thanksgiving, there was 53 of them left. They got down to that. And these were not, the people that died were not strangers. There were husbands and wives and sons and daughters. Yet they found reasons to give thanks. They found, in the midst of all that, they found reasons. You know what? We're going to get together and we're going to thank God. You're crazy. Over half of you have died. You should be cursing God. No, we're going to thank Him. We're going to thank Him in all circumstances. We're going to thank God. I'm glad they did, aren't you? I'm glad they stayed. I'm glad they stood their ground. I'm glad they kept believing in God, because that was the foundation for what we know today as the United States of America.
Amen.
Praise God. Fast forward a couple of hundred years from that, 1863, and Abraham Lincoln is elected. In 1861, he's elected president. Well, at the end of... And I guess at the end of 1860, he's elected president. And it's almost like it is today. As soon as he was elected president, South Carolina seceded from the Union. You hear people talking about that today, don't you? The first shots of the war were fired just a month after he took office. So in 1863, our nation is in the midst of a civil war that is on the verge of tearing our country apart and just destroying the nation. And Abraham Lincoln gets up in October of 1863 and he issues a proclamation that all the country is to come together as one and celebrate and give thanks to God. Here's what he says. The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. You know, you would think he would have nothing to thank God for with the nation being embroiled in the Civil War, but he begins to talk about all the blessings that God has bestowed on our nation, even in the midst of that. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to Him for such singular deliverances and blessings, that they do also, with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, commend to His tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of our nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. Amazing. Abraham Lincoln found reasons in the midst of the Civil War, and if you, that's not even all of it, but to thank God. He also said, you know what? He said, besides all this, he said, the laws have been obeyed. He thanked God for that. He said, God's blessed us. He says, the mines are producing. He said, even in the midst of the Civil War, the nation is prospering. The frontier is expanding. In the midst of all of that, he found reasons to give thanks. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So that's a lesson for all of us. And when you're going through a test or a trial, when you're going through adversity, focus on all the good things that God is doing. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. He is good. He is good. Amen? Amen? Praise God. And then number four, when we give thanks, it energizes and it activates our prayers. When we give thanks, there's something, when we add thanksgiving to our praying, it activates that prayer. It energizes that prayer. It causes that prayer to rise and to be answered. Praise God. Here's a scripture. Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now notice, what? What's the next phrase? With thanksgiving, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You can't leave that out. If you leave that out, that's like leaving out the main ingredient. Some of you folks are going to be cooking and baking, you probably have already started. And if you leave out the main ingredient, that's not going to work, is it? Well, I'm baking a pecan pie. I've got the crust, and I've got the filling and all that. What else? Oh, no pecans. You can't have pecan pie without pecans, can you? And you can't have answered prayer without thanksgiving.
Amen.
Without giving thanks. He says, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to recommend that you study the epistles. That's from Romans all the way through up to Revelation, especially the ones that Paul wrote. And I want you to notice all the time, as you read that, notice all the time that he talks about, when he prayed, he talks about giving of thanks. He says, he talks about praying for the Ephesian church. He says, for this reason I make mention of you. He said, I give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Over and over he talks about giving thanks with his praying. Amen? Because when we give thanks, it energizes our prayers. It activates our prayers. Amen. So don't pray without thanking God. Giving thanks is the natural response When you know that you've prayed according to the will of God. In 1 John 5, it says, if we ask anything according to His will, what? He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we know we have it. If we know He hears us, we know we have it. So when I pray according to His will, I know He hears me. And if I know He hears me, I know I have it. Well, what's left to do but say thank you? Thank you. Hallelujah. When do I tell Him thank you? When I pray. I tell Him thank you again when it comes to pass. I tell Him thank you again when it's manifested in the natural realm. But I can go ahead and tell Him thank you when I pray. Because I know He's heard me and I know I have it if I've asked according to His will. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And then number five, when we give thanks for what seems insignificant, God multiplies it. He says giving thanks always for the big things. All things. All things. Yes, the big things, but also the small things. We're to give thanks for all things. And this thought came to me a few years ago. What you appreciate will appreciate.
Amen.
You know, the two ways to use the word appreciate. You know, I appreciate, you know, when Linda and RJ take care of Frodo for me, I appreciate they take care of him, they love him, and they're better to him than I am. Amen. And I appreciate that. I appreciate they give such devoted care to my doggy and when they take care of him. I appreciate that. So when what we appreciate will appreciate. Well, the house has appreciated in value by $20,000. Yeah. That's the other way to use the word appreciate, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
So what you appreciate will appreciate. What you give thanks for increases in value.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Yes. And here's a perfect example of it in the scripture, John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, verse 5, look at this with me. In John 6, verse 5, it says, then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him. What would you do if you lifted up your eyes and saw a great multitude coming toward you? Yeah, you know what? They were coming toward him saying, help us, heal us, meet our needs. He saw this great multitude coming toward him, and he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Philip, you know, did you notice as we were coming over here, did you notice any grocery stores along the way? By the way, you're going to need to, we'll need to find five grocery stores because we'll have to buy all the food that all five of them have to feed this multitude. There's probably, it says there are 5,000 men, so there could have been 15 to 20,000 people there if you count the women and children, right? Mm-hmm. All right. And so he says, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. A denarius was a day's wage. So 200 denarii, that's 200 days' wages. If you take out Saturday and Sunday, that's almost a year's work. That may be, that's we're talking about, for a laborer there, we're talking about maybe $30,000, $40,000, maybe more of bread, of food. He said, we're going to have $40,000 to $50,000 maybe to buy, to, you know, so everybody can have just a little, not even be full, but just have a little, all right? One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, well, there's a lad here who has five barley loaves and two small fish, but what are they among so many? What are they among so many? When we give thanks to God, even for the insignificant things, God can multiply.
Amen.
When you look at what you have and compared to what you need to pay your bills or to meet your needs, it seems so insignificant. It's like nothing compared to what I need. And that's what he said there. What are they? Five loaves and two small fish, and there's thousands of people. This is the boy's lunch. And so I said, well, the loaves were bigger in that day. It was a boy's lunch. Like Rodney Howard Brown said, so we've got Johnny's lunch. You know, Johnny's brought his lunch here. He's got five loaves and he's got two whales. You know. This was his lunch. This was a kid's lunch. All right? And then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, what did he do with them? What did he do? He gave thanks. See, the principle is this. When we give thanks for what is seemingly insignificant, then God can multiply it. Hallelujah. Now, you may not literally see him multiply, you know, the food in your pantry or in your refrigerator, but I tell you, if you'll begin to give thanks for what God gives you, it will multiply. They have seen this in the food ministry. They have seen it multiply and multiply and multiply. Amen? Because when we appreciate, when we give thanks for what God has, instead of saying, this is not enough, instead of complaining, the opposite would be to complain. Well, Lord, why did you get us out here in the middle of this place where there's no grocery stores and all we've got is this little kid's lunch? This ain't no good. That's what a lot of us would have done. Throw it away. The little boy comes with his lunch. Kid, what are you talking about? And throw it away. But Jesus said, come on, bring it here. And he gave thanks. He took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, not just so that they all had a little, as much as they wanted. Hallelujah. One other gospel writer says, when they had eaten and were full.
Amen.
And burped. I mean, they were, it's like what you're going to do on Thursday. Amen. Our last Wednesday night at our dinner here. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So God can multiply it when we give, even if it seems insignificant, God can multiply it if we'll thank him for it.
Amen.
Can you see how powerful it is to give thanks?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can you see what it does? Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. So giving thanks is an act. We talked about that earlier, right? Giving thanks is an act. Thankfulness is an attitude, isn't it? Right? Giving thanks is an act. It's an action. We do it. It's something we say. It's something we speak. Thankfulness is an attitude. So I want to challenge you to give thanks every day. Not just this coming Thursday, but every day. Every day. Every day, find something to thank God for. Every day, find something to thank God for. And express that to him in words, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Every day, multiple times a day, find something to thank God for. Amen?
Amen.
For the seemingly insignificant things, for the good things and the blessings and what he's done for you. And, well, there's nothing like that going on in my life. All right. In the time of adversity, thank him anyway.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Amen? Now, at the same time, then as you engage in the act of giving thanks, the greatest thing happens. And what that is an attitude of thankfulness will begin to be established in your heart.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Again, I'm not perfect in this, but I have seen God work in me and develop in me an attitude of thankfulness and gratefulness that has grown in my heart over the last year because I made the decision, God, and no matter what's going on, I'm going to give you thanks.
Amen.
I'm going to give you thanks.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you thanks.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you. So I'm challenging you, give thanks to God and watch what happens.
Amen.
Watch what happens in your life.
Amen.
Ephesians 4 or 5, verse 4 out of the message. Guys, you can come on back up if you would. Look at this. I love this. Look at this scripture. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus... Wait. That's different than what I've got here. Okay. I guess they've updated the message. We'll go with this one. Those some tongues just love the taste of gossip. Those who follow Jesus. Anybody here follow Jesus?
Amen.
Raise your hand if you follow Jesus.
Amen.
Those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Look at this. Here's what I wanted to get to. Thanksgiving is our dialect.
Amen.
Thanksgiving Amen. Is our dialect. What language do we speak?
Thanksgiving.
We speak the language of thanksgiving. In other words, giving of thanks is to be so ingrained in us. It's to be so much a part of our language and of our lifestyle that thanksgiving becomes our dialect. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Stand up with me and just begin to give thanks to God. And I tell you, God, and again, I've not been perfect in it, but God has done something in me of cultivating an attitude of thankfulness. And so no matter what your situation is, find something to thank God for.
Amen.
Find something to thank Him for.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He is good. He is faithful. And He will pour on the blessings when you thank Him. Hallelujah. It might not happen as fast as you want it to. But again, He may deliver you from something, or He may preserve you through it. But He will bring you out the other side if you'll thank Him, if you'll praise Him. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I want to say this. Giving thanks is not natural. Your flesh doesn't want to give thanks. Your flesh wants to complain, right? Your flesh says, well, yeah, this is all right, but I wish it was better. Or I wish that, you know, I wish I had this. That's your flesh. So giving thanks is supernatural. That means we need supernatural help to do it. And that help is from the Holy Spirit. The scripture we opened up with, Ephesians 5:20, says giving thanks always. It's tied to what Paul said two verses before, where he said, be filled with the Spirit. Giving thanks always flows out of a life that's filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
You really can't give thanks always unless you're full of the Spirit.
Amen.
He's our helper. It's supernatural. Giving thanks, the act of giving thanks is supernatural. Amen.
Amen.
And we need the supernatural help of the Holy Spirit to do it.
Amen.
Praise God. Paul also said this in 1 Corinthians 14, 16 and 17. He says, when we speak with other tongues, he said, we're giving thanks well. Did you know that's in the Bible? 1 Corinthians 14:17. He who speaks in a tongue, he says, you're giving thanks well.
Amen.
You're giving thanks well. Now, I've used this example many times, but I'm going to use it again. A few years ago, as Scarlett and Wesley and I were driving, I was driving them both to school, two different schools, to take them and drop them off. And we always would put on the armor of God, would plead the blood of Jesus, and I say, okay, guys, now we're going to pray. Let's pray in tongues for 2 minutes, just 2 minutes. Well, 2 minutes of praying in tongues, that won't do any good. Well, you'd be surprised
Amen.
If you'd just give it 2 minutes. Because that day when I prayed in tongues, when we got through praying in tongues, Scarlett said, Dad, I understood you spoke some words in Spanish. Well, I wasn't intending to. I wasn't trying to speak in Spanish. I was speaking in tongues. She said, you spoke some phrases out. Here's what you said. You said, more hands. Well, I was praying about something. Evidently, we were calling on the angels to bring more hands to help in that situation. And then you said this, Dad. You said, thankfulness. And then you said, that dies. So some strategy of the devil died that day as we prayed in tongues. The angels of God brought more hands into a situation. And in the middle of that, thankfulness.
Amen.
Thankfulness.
Amen.
Thankfulness. Hallelujah. So I said all that to say this. I want to pray for you. If you're here this morning and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, we all need that supernatural assistance to really give thanks well, to give thanks as we should. So let's all just raise our hands and thank God.